Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Blog Talk Radio listeners, God bless each and every one of you for tuning in to today's Open Your Eyes People broadcast. I'm your host, Evangelist Anita Fuentes. Stay tuned in Jesus' name. Excuse me. Amen. Pardon me. Hey, yes, with the Facebook. Hey, Facebook and live stream. We're live on air. God bless you all. We just went live on Blog Talk Radio. We're about to go live on YouTube. Stay tuned. Give me one moment. And we have a broadcast to bring to you all tonight. Breaking world news headlines, matching Bible prophecy. Stay tuned. Such a beautiful song. That one was called The Day of the Lord by Brother Judd Field. Let me play another one. This is one of my favorites. People get ready. Jesus is coming. We'll be going home soon. Very soon. Lord, I'm ready now. I'm waiting for your triumphant return. You're coming so soon. This world has nothing for me. I find my peace and joy solely in you. Only in you. I want the world to see that you're alive and living well in me. And let me be a part of the harvest for the days of you. You're coming soon. So people get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. People get ready. Jesus is coming to take from the world its own. People get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. People get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. We'll be going home. There's a day that comes, we will be divided right and left. For those who know, for the children that know, for those who know well, even in the end, hallelujah, God is with us. They will hear, depart, I knew you not. For my friend, you see, there will be a day when we'll be counted. So know him well, and know him well. People get ready, Jesus is coming soon, we'll be going home. People get ready, Jesus is coming to take from the world its own. People get ready, Jesus is coming soon, we'll be going home. We're here, we're live on air. Thank you. here. We're live on air. And such a powerful broadcast to bring to you all. God is good and his mercy endures forever. And folks, the day of the Lord is at hand. Again, the day of the Lord is at hand. I want to just take a moment to just worship, sing another praise song. This one is a really blessed one. If you haven't heard this one, you're really going to like it. It's called Waymaker. In the meantime, contact someone, invite them to tune in. Again, we have a powerful broadcast to bring to you all tonight, and we're going to be bringing forth to you some breaking world news headlines, matching Bible prophecy. Grab your Bible, and again, contact someone, invite them to tune in. Here it is, Waymaker.
I worship you, I worship you, you are here.
Waymaker,
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Miracle worker, broadcast. My friends, God bless each and every one of you for tuning in to today's Open Your Eyes People broadcast. I'm your host, Evangelist Anita Fuentes. So happy to have all of us just be together. God is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Anyway, I just want to start off today's broadcast with a reading of the scriptures. If you will go with me very quickly to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Folks, we're living in very tumultuous times. We are living in the last days. Yesterday, we got the honor and privilege to celebrate Independence Day and how wonderful that is, how blessed that is that we get to do that. Hope everybody enjoyed their Independence Day. I'm bringing to you today, though, just a word from the Lord, a very important word, because we are not only living in the last days, but we're coming up on an election. If you hear that sound, I think there's some fireworks being blown in our neighborhood. We're coming up again on the 2020 election that is deemed to be very important to many voters here in the United States of America. Now, I know we have viewers from out of the country, or, you know, that are tuning in from, you know, from international. So I just ask that you be patient with me, because I will be bringing some headlines. But I want to just share with you again the, a word from the Lord concerning the protection that we need to have in the times in which we're living in, because the Lord is going to be coming very soon. People are still continuing to depend on man. And in depending on man, they have forgotten their first love. Now, I know I told you to go with me to Exodus 12. I'm actually going to segue you from that portion of scripture and tell you instead to go with me to another portion of scripture. And it's found in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, guess they're blowing some fireworks right outside my office window. Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 says the following: thus says the Lord. This is all to the American voters, all those who are planning to vote this year for the upcoming presidential elections. Voting is a right and a privilege that we get to have here in the United States of America. And you know, we know that it's been abused in some areas. We know that the polls have been concerning happening at times. We know that there was some kind of, some information that came out, or just some issues, or some with regards to Russia and their interference with voting, as like last year or year prior. And so, we know all that, we don't know everything that's taking place. And I honestly don't know if we really need to care. I think that as individuals, we need to understand that we are living in the last days, and that as much as we'd like to depend on man, as much as we'd like to believe that they can do something for us, a lot of men these days are bought. A lot of men these days are willing to be bought. The Bible says that imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And it's not just in politics. We can't blame every male and female that decides to run as a politician. We have to understand that the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our position, whether you vote or not, is to be a prayer warrior. Now, that sounds good on the outside. It's a whole other thing when you actually close your door and you go before the Father in secret. When you go before the Father in secret, he who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Sometimes when we pray, though, we can be very earnest in our prayers. As righteous men and women of God, we can be very earnest in our prayers, but may not see the outcome that we'd like to see. And we may think that God has failed us, but God has not failed us. We have to test our hearts. Jesus Christ himself tells us, test yourselves as to whether you are in the faith or not. Which leads me again to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, where it says the following, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. What this means is that when we trust in man, meaning that we put our 100% faith in man, we're cursed. And I don't know if you've recognized it, but for a lot of people who put their trust in the last election, in the prior election, and even the election before, they've realized, a lot of them have been very disappointed. Either their candidate did not win, or the one that they actually chose to win still did not live up to the expectation that they were hoping and they really believed in by faith, or just by merely, if they wanted to admit it, that, the fact that they may have put their 100% trust in a man. And they may be kicking themselves saying, man, is there anyone I can trust? Is there, does integrity exist anymore? And it does. But at the same time, you're not that individual. If you can just, if you prayed and you have sought God's face and you have turned from your wicked ways so that he can heal your land, then you've done your part. And what we have to understand, there may be some people that says, well, I live in the U.S. and I'm not a believer. I'm an atheist, or I worship another religion. This is supposed to be this is supposed to be a Christian nation. And if this is a nation of the God of Abraham, then, doesn't the Bible say that if you find at least 10 righteous, then he'll spare the land for judgment? And the Bible does absolutely say that. You scoffer and you mocker you. But let me make this clear about the spirit and power of God. The Bible does say that. But at the same time, he tells us that because scoffers and mockers will come in the last day saying, when will his coming be? He already knows the hearts of man. And please understand that our judgment has been abstained for quite some time here on this nation. Ever since 9/11, our judgment has been abstained. That was what was priorly known as, according to Jonathan Kahn, or his last name, Kahn or Kahn, a harbinger. Harbinger meaning a sign of soon coming judgment. So we know that we have had sign. 9/11 was a sign. We know that the economic collapse was another sign. We know that there has been, again, continued signs of the times. And then when you go from what's happening in the natural and match it to Bible prophecy, understand that we are living in the last days. I give God praise that we have the privilege and the freedom of our United States constitutional rights, but understand those rights are currently being abused by the U.S. government, and not just by the U.S. government, but also unseen forces at work, both in the spirit and in the natural. The devil's having a field day in these last days, and he is taking, he's not concerned about prisoners. He's not concerned whether you are young or old, you know, black or white, Hispanic, male or female, Asian. He's not concerned about any of that. All he's looking for is to see if there's an opportunity to take you captive. The Bible tells us having to be taken captive by the devil, or the Bible tells us the devil having taken captive. I want to make sure I say this right. Hold on. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. That they will come to their senses. That who will come to their senses? That's the question. That's the question. Well, let's dig a little bit further here in Jesus' name. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me go to my specific Bible here. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Again, we'll read it in context. It says the following: "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." This is what politics, a lot of it is about. It's ignorant disputes, generating strife. You look at a lot of news channels and all it is just a bunch of disputing. Now, there's nothing wrong with conversation. It's important, but what's the heart of a man in these last days? God is saying, what does it profit a man if he gains a whole world and loses his soul? What have you profited if you've gained the whole world and you've lost your soul? Understand again, we are living in the last days. The Bible tells us that the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's walking around like a roaring lion. But the Bible tells us we will tread on the lion and the cobra. We will trample the great lion and the serpent. That's what the NIV says. The King James says, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot." So yes, the devil does walk around like a roaring lion. We cannot underestimate the roar of the roaring lion. Again, he walks around like a roaring lion. We can't say he's missing teeth because it's not about the teeth as much as it is that he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, meaning that he has a bite. He has a voice, and it sounds very much like God's. And if you are not in the hand of the Almighty, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will be deceived in these last days. And then you will be disappointed. It is not God's will that you be disappointed. Now, of course, we know the disappointment, we know that if we are disappointed, we know that disappointment may come, but woe to those to where it comes from. Make sure I'm looking at this particular scripture right. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 1, says the following. "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." Are you being an offense in the last days? Are you being an offense? I may be speaking to some politicians. I may be speaking to some neighbors. An offense means a breach of law or of a law or rule, an illegal act. It also means an annoyance or resentment brought by a perceived insult to or disregard for oneself or one's standards or principles. To annoy, to anger, to resent. It sounds like a lot of voters in these last days. It means a fault, a wrongdoing, enmity. Who wants to divide brothers in these last days? Jesus said that brother will rise up against brother and put them to death. Again, the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us what we are to do. Our position in these last days is to resist him steadfast in the faith. You cannot resist the serpent. let alone the serpent's bite or the roar of the lion, unless you are steadfast in the faith. I'm speaking as a Christian, as a born-again, spirit-filled, holy woman of God. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. I know no other faith. Jesus Christ is Lord. And we must understand that we can resist him steadfast in the faith. We must understand that we, according to the word of God, will tread on the lion and the cobra. Again, you will trample the young lion and serpent. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 19, according to Jesus Christ himself, says, "See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." Judges chapter 14, verse 6 says, "And the spirit of the Lord took control of him, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as one would tear a young goat, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done." Job chapter 5, verse 22 tells us, "You will laugh at destruction and famine and need not fear the beast of the earth." Proverbs chapter 23, verse 32 tells us, "In the end it bites like a snake and stings like a viper." In Daniel chapter 6, verse 22, "My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of lions. They have not hurt me, for I was found innocent in his sight, and I have done no wrong against you, O king." This is our conviction in the last days, is the word of God. The Bible tells us that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and of marrow, and it's a discerner of man's thoughts and intents of man's hearts. Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and 6 says, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him." Job chapter 5, verse 23 tells us, "For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee." 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37 tells us, "David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee." Psalm chapter 58, verse 4 says, "Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the death adder that stoppeth her ear." And Mark chapter 16, verse 18 tells us, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So you tell me, if the Lord was to ask you, what side are you on? If the Lord was to ask you, are you going to be dependent on man? Cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes the arm of flesh his strength. What would you say? I pray that you don't have to say a word. Because the question would not even come from the Lord. Did God say that you should not eat from the tree? It's funny how our own confidence may betray us at times. Silence at times is very golden. And the question is asked for us. The first thing we must do by the Spirit of God, actually the Spirit of God himself, raises up a standard against any question. It may not answer right away. May entertain the question. Have us entertain it at first and see, is this of the Lord or not? Question the question, if you will. And then we speak wisely. We speak as the oracles of God. We speak as one with water to give to those of a dry and parched and thirsty land. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. He wants us to be like a shrub in the desert. Let me take that back. He's not wanting anything. God is, this is our position in these times. We are not cursed people. The Bible tells us, Jesus himself tells us, the devil only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The devil only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come so that you may have life and that much more abundantly." He will be like a shrub in the desert. He will be like a shrub. We are shrubs in the desert. It went from will be like to are, to currently and will continue to be. We will not see, or excuse me, we will see when prosperity comes. We will dwell in the parched places of the desert. We will. And we will make it a fruitful land. We will not put our trust in princes. As much as we appreciate them, as much as we honor them, as ambassadors of Christ, our trust is not in princes. That doesn't mean that we're going to be backstabbers. That just means that there's a standard. And we will not trust in mortal man who cannot save. That's the reason why. Please understand, God's not saying don't trust in man because they can't be trusted. No, actually, there are some that actually can be. There's integrity that still lives. It may not be seen on the camera very much nowadays across, multitudes of channels, both, both in mainstream media and the alternative media, but it's in there and only God himself knows it. And if you are spiritual, a lot of people consider themselves spiritual in these last days. They say, I'm spiritual. It may not be according to the scriptures. And it certainly may not be according to the Holy Spirit. People have concocted their own Holy Spirit, if you will. What blasphemy that is. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul tells us, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, he said, he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Many people will call not judging political correctness. I'm not into politics. God has not abstained his hand from politics. Please, understand that. His hand is definitely, he knows all the governments and kingdoms of this planet. He has ordained man. There is a changing of the guards in these last days. Make no mistake about it. We are in the fourth watch according to the word of God. The night has come and the day will dawn very soon. He who is spiritual judges all things. To be spiritual is not what you may do in a yoga class or how fast you pray in tongues, as much as I love praying in the spirit, or how beautiful you may worship him. To be spiritual is to trust Jesus with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And God is not mocked. God is not calling us to trust in a man because a man cannot save. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of you receive from the word of God here. I give God praise. Many of you receive the impartation of the anointing of the word of God here. But I cannot save you. The word can save. The word that is being brought forth by the word that's being brought forth by the Spirit of God in me through this vessel, through my mouth, that's what can save you. And we are to rightly divide the word of truth. At times we have preachers, they preach and you can't really maybe take everything that a preacher says, okay? And at times you're learning and, the point is that we're rightly dividing the word of truth and God knows where we're at the stages of life that we're at based on our maturity in him. He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not politics. God is in politics. He's not blind to anything and everything that has ever been said or done behind closed doors in the Oval Office or in the Pentagon or in the United States military. And again, I'm talking as a United States citizen along with being a Christian. God, his word is for us to reign, R-E-I-G-N. R-E-I-G-N, let me just bring a brief definition. To reign means to hold office, to hold a royal office, to rule as king or queen. It means the period during which a sovereign rules. Folks, we are in here in the U.S., we live in a republic. Some call it a democracy. It's both, but it is a republic. It was established not just by the founding fathers, but by the father of all fathers, that being God himself. The same God that created the nation of Israel back in May 7th, 1948 is the same God that established this land. We are Christians, many of us, not all Americans. I know not all Americans are, and I get that. But I'm talking to the Christians. You hold a royal office on this land, whether you know it or not, whether you're a blue collar worker, whether you're a stay at home mom, or you're a preacher of the gospel, or you're about to go into a political seat. If you are a Christian, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, or, you know, what is it, a Democrat or Republican. You hold a royal office. Remember your office. Now, that doesn't, now, please, I got to speak just in case if there's any candidates tuning in. You know, I think you know what I mean. I don't have to spell this out. Sometimes we shy away as to our position as Christians. Let me talk to the us regular folks, though, who are not running for office, for the most part, as well as, you know, what I'm saying, obviously. We hold a royal office that if you go to the voting polls, remember that you don't need to be held in fear, thinking, okay, am I going to vote right? Am I not? You know, what am I doing? God says, no, hold, you know, be steadfast in your position. Hold your royal office. Not only are you soldiers in Christ in these last days, you are ambassadors for my kingdom. Do not trust in the arm of man. Know that you're doing your best. I'm testing the heart. If your candidate doesn't win or if they falter, some candidates are probably, you know, they're probably not right with God in their heart. Some are doing it for gain. Others are probably going to others are going to do it, and they're really hoping that they get somewhere, and they may not, but they're going to try anyway. But for you, for me, we not only we're not to be overruled by the government. We are here to help govern. We're here to govern and actually be in power. We the people. We kind of have a scepter that we're wielding here. Our voting is very important. We have power. I pray that whatever happens in the 2020 elections, that God will rule over this land, the sovereign God, and he will bless this land. But I'm going to tell you this, my friends. Right now, this nation, I know people are celebrating this upcoming election. You know, people, some believe that President Donald Trump did a great job. Others believe not so great. All I know is that the United States of America is in trouble. The administration is not looking good. The U.S. government as a whole is being judged by God himself. And there's a shaking taking place. Besides the fact that there are earthquakes happening, there was an earthquake, a fairly large one yesterday in a couple of places, one in California and one, I believe, up northwest. And just throughout the world, you have the ring of fire shaking. Jesus, tells us, through the word of God, he is the word of God. So even if I read it from Hebrews or the book of Amos, and I say Jesus said, Jesus is the word according to 1 John or according to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Jesus tells us that once more I shake heaven and earth. And I want to read this in context. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 says the following, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, excuse me, for they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. It goes on to say, verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice and shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. The U.S. government, you're not fooling God. You may be fooling the voters. You may be fooling people in this nation with your technology, with your politics. It's not, now I got to make sure I'm saying this correctly because I mean no disrespect to any who are in the U.S. government and they are God-fearing men and women. There are some that are in the U.S. government that are God-fearing. But I'm going to tell you this, overall, there's a lot of leaders and a lot of those who work under the leaders that are not God-fearing individuals and they're playing God. They're trying to usurp an authority that God never gave them, and they assume that because nothing has happened to them, and they were able maybe to even kill some of their own, that they were able to get away with murder. As they're plotting and planning with other nations for whenever they decide to do some type of World War III situation here in the States while they go hide in their bunkers. It's all very real. It's all very happening. I've talked about this within the past few years on how you have certain administrations, such as the Social Security Administration and the Food and Drug Administration and the Agricultural, you know, Department and others that were, you know, stockpiling bullets. We don't hear that anymore. Why? Is there something being planned? I don't know all the figures and all the facts. What I do know here is that something is amiss. There's an atmosphere that I'm recognizing very clearly. It's not hiding itself. It's not hiding itself where I'm at. I live in Texas. We have military men and women. Again, some are, you know, some are God-fearing, and we give God praise for that. But overall, the U.S. government is doing things behind people's backs, behind the voters' backs, behind each other's backs, making deals with other nations. And it's all beyond the fact that it's all propaganda for the most part. They're selling this nation out. Our nation is sold out. I can't even say it's sold out to the devil. They sold themselves out by greed and wealth and power. And in God's eyes, it means nothing. It's not even worthy to be weighed on the scales. It's nothing. So what does that mean? We have become a judgment unto ourselves. The leaders of this nation has brought a judgment on the land of the United States of America. Don't even let me get started on those ministers who decided to pray over Planned Parenthood for God to bless the abortion and killing of babies and innocent children. Don't even let me get started on the underground selling of baby parts that continues to happen to this day. Don't even let me get started on the certain technology that the government has allowed and has decided to use Americans as guinea pigs to test on, thinking that we're stupid just so the pharmaceutical company can get more money and get more medications to see how many of us will go bunkers ourselves, how many of us will go crazy and kill ourselves and admit ourselves in a hospital with so-called hearing things and seeing things. Don't let me get started on the other nations that will hear and see the judgment of God himself because of their technology and other things that they're happening and that they're doing. I'm speaking a word of righteousness, and I have a right to judge according to the words of Jesus Christ. He said, let him who is spiritual judge all things, but he himself will rightly himself be judged by no one. That's probably why I don't get very many invites to churches. Not that I plan to go and judge them, but I think there's a spirit that I carry here of authority and of rulership, according to the word of God. It's called courage, along with it being, of course, the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm very concerned for this nation. I'm very concerned with the backdoor deals that are taking place in the government. They think, many that hold key positions in the United States government think that Americans are stupid. And I'm going to tell you, for the most part, some have lost their way. Many have their head in the sand. There are others, such as small businessmen and women and others in the farming industry, that are really trying their best. They want to know what's going on with the tariffs of China. They want to know what's going to happen to their bottom line. And they're hoping this next presidency will take place. And they're thinking, did I get hoodwinked? I believed in someone, and now they're afraid to even communicate to their friends and family, lest they be, chastised or ostracized from their family. The Bible tells us, Jesus himself tells us, a prophet is never welcomed in their own hometown, let alone their own house. Be ready. He said, I did not come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword. Doesn't feel very good. Are we being disciplined? From the bottom up, possibly. I have no doubt that we are. I think judgment has started in the churches, even though everybody, a lot of them, are singing hallelujah. You have a lot of guest speakers now coming in as so-called prophets, and many of them are not prophets. Some of them are very false. Some of them are bringing trickery in, seeking to trick the masses, thinking that they're tricking God, and God is literally in the houses watching them. There are seven angels over churches, at least, with direct orders. Other angels that are standing charge over the houses of God, watching everything that the pastor is saying, every tithe, every offering, the hearts of those that are sitting in their seats, the heart of the pastor, and those behind, don't even get me started, on the board of directors, who believe that they can dictate, many of the board of directors believe that they can dictate messages now, because they believe they hold some kind of key position in the church. Where is the body of Christ? It seems like we're barely hanging on by a breath. We're barely surviving. Jesus Christ told us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And right now it looks like it is, because this land is full of greed. It's full of a pseudo power. And God, if he even wanted to weigh it on the scales, it would be found wanting. It's not even worthy to be weighed on the scales. I think the answer is very clear, is that we have to pick up our Bibles and start reading them again. I'm going to tell you what's holding up this nation, that there's a young generation that still exists. For the most part, you know, many people have wiped off the younger generation, and they say, man, what are these kids made of? A lot of school shootings, a lot of kids into drugs, a lot of them taking their own lives, a lot of them having sex, a lot of them getting into homosexuality, a lot of them in sin. But there's still a generation, there's still a remnant of youngsters from kindergarten, because a lot of them were already trained in their mother's womb, going up all the way to 12th grade and in between, that they still exist. And I believe that they're still the heartbeat of America that God is hearing out. And by God's grace, this nation has not come to destruction as of yet. But make no mistake about it, I feel the birth pangs of this nation. And I believe I'm not the only woman of God, or the only Christian, I should say, because there are, I'm sure, men of God that are feeling it as well. We have prayed, we have sought God's face, we have turned from our evil ways for the healing of our land, and right now it looks like seemingly our land is healed, but it's not. Why are we lying? Government, those of you who don't fear God, why do you think you're playing one up on God? Why do you think that you're getting away with playing with people's minds? How dare you use technology and hidden things that you have in your governments, secret things that God himself knows, and you think that there is no God, or you believe you're hiding something from him, and you test it on the American public, offer exchange for, you know, the pharmaceutical companies, so you could get some under the table money. Now, if, you know, a lot of patients are going to the hospital, and, you know, doctors now have some quotas to meet, not all, I don't even know, it may be all now, if they can meet a quota of how many people, or, you know, how many prescriptions they can fill out. Did you meet the quota? You come in. Doc, I don't feel well. You know, well, let me write you a prescription. They won't even hear you out anymore. Now, of course, I know a lot of them are overworked, of course. And we honor the role of the doctor, the great, you know, the physician, of course. We have a great physician over these doctors. But again, a lot of them are led by greed. And it seems like it's an agenda. And let me forget about the word that it seems. It is an agenda. The agenda is very real. And it's led by a sinful nature, being aroused by the enemy of our souls. It's too much. It's too much ungodliness. There's no accountability. It's loose. I'm focusing right now on the U.S. government. You've become very loose. Many of you in key positions have become very loose. You really think you're God over this nation. You may say, yeah, well, God put me in this position. Yeah, he did, to take responsibility over it, to take charge, not to take advantage of the American people and use us as test to objects, as if we don't matter. People dying before their time, 5G, technology, and other things that people may not be aware of, but there are some. There's a remnant that know. They're spiritually discerned. And I'm not going to lay it all here and spell it all out. But I want to tell you that there's a shaking that's coming to the U.S. government. We heard a word a couple of years ago about draining the swamp. There's no swamp that was drained. As a matter of fact, the swamp got even more swampier. It got more deadlier. It got more nastier. It got more stenchier. Some filthy. The cup is full. Can't even hold the blood of the babies, let alone the blood of the martyrs. It's holding right now trash. But God knows there's faith on this land. But a word must be spoken, just as the one I'm speaking right now. I'm focusing on the U.S. government because I don't like what's going on. They're supposed to be following the United States Constitution, and many of them are not. They're taking advantage of their so-called, it's not even liberty, their so-called access to spy on Americans still, on regular citizens. You don't have to be a government employee. Don't even get me started on those who may be. Make no mistake about it. If you think that you're a watcher, watching as a U.S. government employee, regular individuals and citizens, God himself is watching you and you will be judged. Make no mistake about it. You're being judged now, but even this judgment compared to his is nothing. But it is something. It matters. What we are to do, those of us who have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says, is to receive the word of God with blessing, not to reject it, to pray for the newcomers that are coming up. Some may be ones that you've heard and seen before. Try not to be quick to judge. There may have been some that have maybe a tarnished label behind them because of politics, and it happens. But there may be something in your heart that's tugging, saying, you know what, they may not be as bad. He or she may not be as bad as I thought. Go with your gut instinct. Don't be afraid to vote. Again, you hold a position of an office yourself as a voter. You hold the scepter, if you will. You hold sway. You have influence. Don't be afraid to vote for someone that you probably would never have even voted for if it was 4 years ago. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 22 tells us, and I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. For I have written to you in few words, know that our brother, in this case, Timothy, has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. I don't know what's going to happen with the upcoming 2020 elections. How far is it going to go? Is God going to allow it? What kind of judgment are we in for, if any? Is a nation judged? I believe, again, it is. I believe that God himself is starting from the bottom up. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I've been bringing you headlines here for the past few days. There's been a massive distress of nations with perplexity upon the earth. The seas and the waves roaring. Very unusual weather patterns that continue to happen. Earthquakes in various places. And false Christs and false prophets that continue to rise up and show signs to deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. This is the same words that Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. We have to remember, and I know we do, God will never leave us nor forsake us. I pray that the hearers and those that may not have heard, I pray that those who have had a spirit of stupor over their lives, the government who thought that the God who sees was not seeing, would hear the word of the Lord and awake. and know that he is to be feared. Know that he is a judge of all spirits, and he will judge righteously, even though his chastising may be harsh. But if you survive it, if you will, afterward, it will yield to you the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those of you that have desired and fully submitting your life to Jesus Christ, that you have been trained by it, that you will live peaceably. But if you have become defiled as a fornicator or a profane person like Esau, having exchanged your birthright for a measly bowl of soup, that if you seek to inherit the blessing after you have decided to reject your birthright, not just as an American, but as a Christian, the very word of God himself, there may be no place for repentance, even though you will seek to try to look for a, even though you will try to seek to look for it diligently with tears. So we will do what God's called us to do. We will obey those who rule over us. It's not this government. As much as we respect the laws, we are grateful for the U.S. Constitution. God is going to judge. He's already judging the U.S. government, who is breaking the United States Constitution. He knows who you are. He knows each individual behind it. It's beyond technology, folks. There are people that are purposely abusing the United States Constitution. And they may hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. How dare you? I put you in a key position, and you abuse your authority by doing lawless deeds, thinking that I didn't see you because the voter or the citizen or the constituent didn't see you. They weren't privy to you, but I was. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, because you continue in your lawless ways. You know what you're doing. I pray the new candidates, those who will be coming up in positions, both key and not so key, that God himself will empower each and every one of you with the wisdom that you need and the courage that you're going to need to fix what was supposed to have been fixed within the past few years. Don't be surprised if a Democrat actually takes the seat. We can't get angry at everything. A lot of us have been hoodwinked. A lot of us wanted to be hoodwinked. We wanted to believe a man can save us. God never appointed a president as a king. He's actually appointed those voters, again, with a scepter. Know who you are in Christ, Jesus, our Lord. And the mere fact that there's even Christians that exist on this land, the unbeliever should be very grateful. We hold rule here. We hold sway. And I know there's a lot of, I know there's apostasy in the church, and that's being judged as well, because I could hear it already. Well, that's the case. How come, you know, the farmers and the tariffs? Listen, make no mistake about it. The church is being judged as well. It has been judged, and it is currently under judgment. The Lord himself is visiting the houses of God. He's visiting families and Christians in these last days. It's not so much what you've done as far as sin or not sin, but where your heart's at. Where's your integrity at? Some have fallen, but did you get up? Some messed up. I hear that sounds on my end. You know, some have messed up, but are you still down? Are you still messing up? Some are lazy. You know, some became lazy and wicked, but are you still being lazy? Have you become a weight of sin or a weight of glory? That's what God is looking for. That's what he's testing. He's searching the hearts and minds of man right now in the body of Christ, in the Church of America. He's visiting churches around the world. Make no mistake about it. But again, I speak as an American and as a Christian. As a Christian first, of course. And of course, if you're not a Christian, I don't know what you're waiting for. You must be born again. Your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What are you waiting for? The day of the Lord is at hand. Jesus tells us that no one will know the day nor the hour. Jesus tells us that as in the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day that the flood came and washed them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So if you're not a Christian, why? What are you waiting for? You can't save yourself. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. There's only one way to salvation. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, you're a sinner and you're going to be judged. But if you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's not just being a Christian, meaning that you become a church member. I have my own opinion on that. Being a Christian doesn't mean you give your tithes and offerings, which is important, so as long as it's done cheerfully and secretly so that the Father can reward you openly. To be a Christian is not just in name only. There are a lot of people that call themselves Christians and they're going to hell. A Christian is one who has fully submitted and surrendered their entire life to Jesus Christ. You have fully submitted and surrendered your entire life to Jesus Christ. You told him, Jesus, and you're probably saying, well, how do I do that? Here it is. You say, Jesus, I cannot save myself. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you every part of me, my past, my present, my future. I'm giving you me. I'm giving you me. Take me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I've sinned. And you know, for some of you, you're tuning in. You may be like I once were, or what, you know, you may be like I once was. There was, you know, one part that I didn't understand. I was like, well, you know, sin. I didn't, you know, what do you mean I sinned? I didn't understand that. Even if you don't understand what it means that you are a sinner, God knows. Without him, you're nothing. You cannot save yourself. Come, each and every one of us is appointed to die. And many people are afraid to talk about death. The fear of death has a hold and a grip on many people around the world. But the moment that you give your entire life to Jesus Christ, meaning you fully submit and surrender it onto him, you tell him, Jesus, I give you my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. I cannot save myself. I'm a sinner. And you mean it with every fiber of your being. I mean, you're crying out to him. It's like a desperation. For many, it is desperate. God makes you, he makes you born again by the Holy Spirit. This is a miracle that is only done by the Holy Spirit. The angels give charge to ensure that there's no distraction. Because the enemy of the souls, or, you know, the enemy of your soul has sought to snuff you out before your time. So there's angels that keep charge over you, and you become born again by the Holy Spirit. And from that moment on, he takes over your life. And you may look the same, you may sound the same, you may smell the same, you may see the same, but make no mistake about it, he has begun a good work in you. And he will train you, he will teach you, he will be your teacher. Jesus Christ will be your teacher, he will be your Lord and your Savior. And now you get to enter into what's called the Holy of Holies, a relationship with the living God, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He will train you. He'll train you. And he'll know exactly what to do with you. He'll anoint you. And he has a call for you. A call on your life. The words of Jeremiah tells us, this is from the Lord himself, the Lord God. He says, the plans that I have for you are of good and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. To give you a hope and a future. For some of you, that sounds outlandish. You're like, I'm up in age, I've done a lot of things, or I'm not that good. There's no way God will forgive me. It's not about you being good or what age you are. It's about surrender, giving up. Some of you give up to the wrong things. You're giving up to, I mean, you're giving yourselves up to drugs and smokes and bars and drinking and clubs, and you're giving yourself up to the wrong things. God does want you to give up. He wants you to fully surrender your life to Jesus Christ. That is a death. but not in taking your own life. It's a death because you give your life. The same way that Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many is the same way that we give our life unto Jesus so that he can come in and make us born again. He loves us very much. It's his perfect love that casts out all fear. And if you take him up on this opportunity, this knocking that he's doing on your heart, wherever you're at right now, just say, yes, Jesus. Yes, come into my life. You know, I make you my Lord and Savior. I surrender. Forgive me of my sins. Take over me. Take over my family. Take over my situation. Some of you are in situations that if God doesn't come in, you don't know what's going to happen. God is not intimidated by your situation. You may be. Your situation is probably, you know, try to make itself bigger than what it really is. If you really want to see how God sees your situation, take a moment to step back and just get, you know, draw on a piece of paper, a little dot. He says, that's how I see your situation. I have it. And it's erasable. He makes all things new. All right, listen, I got to get into the headlines. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's talk about some reports here. All right, we have an update here. California earthquake swarm grows to 1,217 earthquakes in the Ridgecrest area within the past 24 hours. Just as we talked about, there was a 6.5 that took place yesterday. It says here, this is according to Brother Michael Schneider, it says, what in the world is happening to Southern California? Could it be possible that all of the shaking that we have seen over the past couple of days is leading up to something even bigger? I was curious, and so I went to the USGS website, and I pulled up a map that is very tightly focused on the Ridgecrest area. According to that map, there have been 1,217 aftershocks in the Ridgecrest area in the last 24 hours. By the time you view the map, that number will inevitably have changed. Normally, aftershocks begin to subside after a while, but right now they just keep hitting one after another. In fact, a rather sizable aftershock rattled Ridgecrest at the same moment when Ridgecrest Police Chief Jed McLaughlin was briefing reporters about the aftershocks. He says, we're getting aftershocks every few minutes. There are hundreds of them. Randy Baldwin, a geophysicist at the U.S. Geological Survey's National Earthquake Information Center, said in Colorado. He says, there's a chance that some larger ones in the magnitude 5 range, one aftershock struck even as Ridgecrest Police Chief McLaughlin briefed news reporters about the emergency response to the earthquake. Wow. So there it is, folks. Again, an update. Very interesting. And it gets even more interesting. An alert from seismologists. Check this out. It says here, seismologists warn California could see even bigger earthquake in days ahead. Now, I don't like the way that sounds. That's concerning. CBN says, it says here, California is on alert today for more aftershocks after the southern part of the state was hit by a 6.4 magnitude quake Thursday, the largest since 1999. He says there's about a 1 in 20 chance that this location will be having an even bigger earthquake within the next few days that we have not yet seen. The biggest earthquake of the sequence, says seismologist Lucy Jones. Oh, wow. So they're saying the same location. It says here that California currently is under what's called a state of emergency after the largest earthquake in two decades hit near the small desert town of Ridgecrest. Well, what makes this better, I should say, what makes this okay is the fact that they may have time to evacuate, knowing that there could be an even bigger earthquake within the next few days, according to the seismologists. So that is helpful, very helpful. Anyway, it says here, California, now under a state of emergency after the largest earthquake in two decades, hits near the small desert town of Ridgecrest, about 150 miles from Los Angeles, says we lost everything that we had in a matter of minutes, said one Ridgecrest resident. I have no TV, no dresser, I have nothing. Surveillance video from inside a convenience store captured the moment shortly after 10:30 in the morning local time when the quake hit, sending employees running for cover and items flying off shelves. Patients at a local hospital in Ridgecrest forced to evacuate the building after suffering minor injuries. So that is a report. Earthquakes in various places. Are we ready? Come on. You must be born again, right? I was just talking about salvation. Very important. Let's talk about maybe preparation with your food. Some extra, just extra food, a little extra water go a long way. I think these are the birth pangs that Jesus said would take place. These are the birth pangs. Let's talk about another report. This one happening that is really becoming more frequent. It says here, according to Fox 4, Florida man contracts flesh-eating bacteria while going about an average day, not entering water. It says here, a Florida man was recovering on Tuesday after he contracted a flesh-eating bacteria on Friday that rapidly spread across one of his arms. Tyler T.K. King of Santa Rosa Beach was going about an average day when he was infected with the bacteria called Vibrio vulnificus. He wrote in a viral Facebook post that included pictures of his large rash. I had morning smoothie and did some light exercise. So I made my way down to an area on 38 to do a photo shoot. We started with a short paddle across a dune lake to get some cool pictures. I never got into the water, he said after returning to the dock. He went on an electric bike ride down the 38 bike path and through a local state park. Halfway through the bike ride, I started to experience a little discomfort in my left arm. Upon returning to where we started, my arm was starting to get pretty sore. He said about 30 minutes later, I noticed my arm was getting pretty swollen and was starting to change color. Well, the Bible says that there will be famines and pestilences in various places. So we pray that this man get swift healing, quick healing in Jesus' name. All right, give me one moment as I get another report here. All right, so let's look at another report here. It says here, Russia readying S-400 missiles for Turkey amid warnings of U.S. sanctions on NATO ally. So here again, we see a distress of nations with perplexity. Russia will deliver its S-400 air defense missile system to NATO member Turkey in the coming days. A Kremlin spokesman said Friday, in a deal likely to trigger U.S. sanctions and test the bonds of the Western military alliance. But the scope of the possible response from Washington remains clouded by apparent conflicting messages. President Donald Trump has publicly shown sympathy for Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's position on the Russian missile purchase. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, however, has warned of tough measures that could include canceling the sales of F-35 fighter jets to Turkey. For the wider NATO alliance, the Turkish deal strikes at the heart of military coordination. NATO has expressed worry that the S-400 is incompatible with its possession of the U.S.-made F-35s and would give Russia access to secrets of the stealth technology. So again, we see a distress of nations with perplexity. the seas and the waves roaring. Russia in Turkey in Bible prophecy. Let's see if we could talk about it for a moment. Okay, so let's look at a report here from alphanewsdaily.com. It says here, God warns Iran, which is Persia, Russia, which is Magog, and a coalition of allies, including Turkey, Libya, Sudan, will go to war and will invade Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, the Bible warns this coming war between Iran and Israel will take place sometime after Israel has been regathered into her land as a nation, which was fulfilled on May 14, 1948. This prophetic war has never yet taken place. The only time in history, which is Persia-Iran, has ever gone to war against Israel was to help Israel throw off the yoke of the Byzantine Empire around 614 AD. Now, it says here, this war will be unlike any other war in history. This war will unleash a series of irreversible events, which will change the world forever. God has set aside two whole chapters in the Bible to warn mankind of this coming war. The Bible warns the U.S. will not defend Israel. According to the Bible, Israel must stand alone. For when this coming war does start, the U.S. will be unwilling or unable to help Israel defend herself. Even though the Bible warns the invading armies will be ultimately destroyed by God, it will be a devastating war for both Israel and the whole world. Bible scholars are divided as to whether this coming war is part of the prophetic battle of Armageddon or will just precede Armageddon in order to prepare a path for the Antichrist, a coming world leader who will enforce a peace plan or what's called a covenant upon Israel, which will trigger the final prophetic seven-year period of time which God has set aside for Israel and the world, which is sometimes called the apocalypse. All mankind should be sitting on the edge of their seats with white knuckles watching this terrible prophecy slowly start to unfold, while those who call themselves Christians, followers, both Jew and Gentile, of Jesus, which is Yeshua, the promised Messiah, and are told to examine themselves in the Word and in their faith to ensure they are not just almost Christian. It says here, I want to make sure I said this correctly. Who are lukewarm in their faith in Jesus and God's word. You can read this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, where it talks about the lukewarm church. Jesus warns all to watch, therefore, and pray always, not just sometimes, that you will be counted worthy through his worthiness to escape all these things. Now, let's just read very briefly what the word says in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1 through 10, and see if we can bring forth some interpretation concerning it. It says here, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, on of man, set your face against Gog, which is a powerful leader according to this interpretation of the website, of the land of Magog. Magog is translated into Greek as Cilicia, the area of modern-day Russia. The prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Meshech and Tubal are in and around Turkey. And it says here, and prophesy against him and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog. Now, Gog, again, is claimed as possibly a powerful human or a dark angelic leader behind Russia. The prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, which is Turkey, says, I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, Israel's new gas field, the mutual defense treaty or United Nations effort, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords and weapons. The Russian army will march again. Persian, which is Iran. Iran being listed first, meaning it will be the led ally. Ethiopia being Sudan, Kush, and Libya being Northern Africa are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all of his troops, Germany, France, Eastern Europe, or Galatia, Turkey, the house of Togomar. Armenia from the far north of all of his troops. Many peoples are with you. NATO member Turkey will join this coalition. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Russia will act as guard and supplier of weapons. After many days, you will be visited, meaning this would happen far from Ezekiel's time. In the latter years, you, Russia, Iran, and Turkey will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. This war will take place after Israel became a nation in 1948. They, the children of Israel, were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land of Israel like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. I find this very fascinating. The Bible also warns Russia will also act as a guard, including weapons for Iran and their allies. It says here, prepare yourself, being Russia, or Magog, and be ready, you Russia, and all your companies, allies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Them is Iran, Turkey, and the other allies listed. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 7. A guard protects, defends, blocks threats of international sanctions, and provides weapons, technology, intelligence, command and control, and often stays quietly hidden in the shadows until the time is right. Very interesting. I want to share a little bit more here. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 11 through 17, which really coincides to some of what I talked about earlier today concerning the U.S. It's funny that the U.S. is not specifically mentioned in the Word of God. Again, Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 11 through 17 says, thus saith the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You, the one who leads Russia, will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. The cities in Israel are no longer walled. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty. Greed, envy, and arrogance will fuel this invasion. I want to repeat this portion again. Greed, envy, and arrogance will fuel this invasion. To stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, look at Israel today, and against the people gathered from the nations, this will take place after 1948. Who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Saudi Arabia, Dedan, Kuwait. Saudi Arabia and Kuwait will not join this invasion. The merchants of Tarshish, which may be England, and all of their young lions, maybe former colonies like Canada, Australia, and the U.S., will say to you, have you come to plunder? Greed, envy, and arrogance will fuel this invasion. Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus saith the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel are dwelling securely, will you not know it? You will come from your place, out of the uttermost parts of the north. Russia now claims the Arctic and North Pole as theirs and is deploying forces to defend it. You and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great host, a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel, which is not a good idea, like a cloud covering the land in the latter days, which they say is far in the future from Ezekiel's time at that time, which currently refers to this time, the last days, which we are in now. Very well said. Says here, I will bring you against my land. God says Israel is his land. He gave it to Israel that the nations may know me. When through you, O Gog, I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. For God will destroy this invading army, thus saith the Lord God. Are you Gog, he of whom I have spoken in former days? But my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for you in those days, that I, God, will bring you against them, according to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 11 through 17. Amazing. Praise the Lord. All right, my friends, I want to end tonight's broadcast on a blessed note. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's Open Your Eyes People broadcast. As always, it is a privilege and a pleasure to bring to you all the Word of God, breaking world news headlines, matching Bible prophecy. Until to Monday, have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name, bye-bye.